inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
It's a big Friday Form Focus with Mick Sharkey in the studio. Shark, great to see you. How are you?
Good to see you, Michael. And you, can I say that you look particularly well-rested this week?
It was a nice couple of days off last week. With
what a great spot.
Matty, Peterborough. Yeah, Peter from Peterborough. Down on the Great Ocean Road. Very nice.
I had to look up where Peterborough was. I knew it was in that part of the world.
Half an hour from Warrnambool on the Great Ocean Road.
Absolutely brilliant.
Lovely.
What a good spot.
Lovely place. Very windy, though.
Were you recognised? Because, of course, you and the lovely Jack are the power couple of Melbourne media. Did people stop you in the street, or did they...
Speaking gibberish despite the week off.
Were you stopped for autographs or selfies?
Let's get on to the form for Flemington tomorrow, Mick Sharkey, because we need to find some winners. Santa's not far away and we need to pay for some presents.
Listen, this is all true. The Christmas turkey needs to lob, whether it's this weekend or at some point early next week. I think we can all agree... A little extra cash at this time of year.
It's a nice card at Flemington tomorrow, but this query over the rain, we know Flemington drains so well, but we'll have a chat to Liam O'Keefe once he's finished rating the track. But he's been public in saying that we've done a bit of a renovation since the Spring Carnival. Mm-hmm. It may not drain as well as what it has done previously. So is there a question mark over what type of track we'll have tomorrow in your mind?
Yes. Particularly with today's potential downpour, again, anywhere between 6 and 20 mils or possibly more or possibly less, depending on where it falls and how heavy it falls. So I think we'll go through the card as we are right here, right now, on a soft five.
So you've done your form for a soft five.
Okay. Yeah. But if things change later today, you have to adjust accordingly, if we get more rain in the morning.
Well, it is going to be a nice meeting. The first race is intriguing because we've got a number of first starters, and we've got Yes, 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 who was very good on debut, and Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace have got a nice hand, not just at Flemington, but all around Australia, and it's great to have a chat. To Kieran, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Michael. How are you?
Very well, very well. What can you tell us about this first starter of yours, which goes around in the first three legs in?
He's done everything right. He's been in work quite a long time. Fitness is no problem at all. He's very forward. He's got the shades on. He's trialled up reasonably well. He's probably not... You know, he's not in our top line of three-year-olds, but he's certainly got fitness and toughness on his side.
Kieran, tell us about that trial. He showed some good speed, and others were asked for a bit more in that heat. They were sort of ridden to quicken up, but he seemed to stick to his guns pretty well without being under much pressure.
He's a very straightforward horse, and I think that will take him a long way in an early two-year-old race such as this. You know, there's a lot of horses that are going to be very inexperienced, and he also is inexperienced, but he seems very straightforward. Like, he bounces, puts himself on the bunny, you know, he's just a very straightforward horse, so that's going to take him a long way. He's obviously drawn in three, so he's not too far off the rail, which I think is important for a two-year-old, and, you know, like, he's fit and ready to go.
Well, you're bookending the meeting because you've got one in the first and one in the last. And Antali's an intriguing runner in the last because she goes well first up. She's a big price, currently around about $15. Is she ready to win first up?
I think her fitness is fine. I've always had a high opinion of this filly. She's quite tall and was quite leggy last time around, and she's really furnished on the break. 1100 probably right at the shorter end, but you know, if they sit up a little bit down the straight, she'll be closing very hard late. She's won at Flemington, not down the straight, but I just think, you know, she's strengthened right up, and her work's been nice and sharp.
You've also got a couple of runners at Randwick, Wall of Fire in race four, the Christmas Cup, and also Aloysia goes around in the Villiers. Bit of rain around Randwick as well. Probably a rain-affected track there. Will that help those two?
I certainly wouldn't harm. I think Wall of Fire definitely appreciates it. Like, his best run this prep has been on a heavy 8 or 10, I think it was, up there. And in the St. Ledger, and Aloysia certainly doesn't mind it either.
How do you think Aloysia's going?
Well, her first two runs this prep, I couldn't have been happier with her. I thought she was absolutely spot on for the mire. And she came into season and just disappointed a bit. So, yeah, that's why the point of taking her up there to Sydney. She looks super. Her work's been first class, and she's on a bit of regimate, so that might turn her around.
So that's why you've taken her up north, so she can be on the regimate.
Yeah.
All right, and you've been running a few horses in New South Wales and Sydney in recent weeks. Is that part of that reason?
No, we've got a stable up there, just opened at Rose Hill, we're looking to consolidate and grow the stable there. So,
how many do you keep up there?
We've got 9 there at the moment.
Oh, very good. Well, mate, you may be helping to pay for that on tomorrow. Who's your best anywhere? Sydney, Melbourne?
I would say Nantali. Oh, actually, probably tonight at the Valley, the Sheriff.
Oh, I like that.
That's what we like. And you've got one at Canterbury as well tonight. You've got them everywhere.
Yeah, we do. The maiden at Canterbury, Russian Romeo. He's heading, hopefully he figures in the finish tonight, and he can head up. He's a Magic Millions horse, so there's a Magic Millions maiden up there for good money. But I'll be happy enough for him to win tonight as well.
Good on you, Kieran. Good luck.
Thanks very much.
The Sheriff, and he checked himself.
Sheriff John Stone.
7:50 tonight at the Valley.
Yum, yum, yum.
We will follow that. What do you take out of the first at Flemington tomorrow? Because there's a lot of question marks, but she was taken with the run of Yes, Yes, Yes on debut behind what could be a very smart galloper. It's currently the favourite in the first, and just looking at the odds at the moment, it's into $3. So $4.60 Spirit in the Sky. We're going to have a chat to Natalie Young a little later. Big spruik about it because it has obviously jumped out really well. And Movie Roll, very well-related debutante, who has the first start for Hayes Dabernick, well in the market also at $4.40.
Well, importantly, we get to test that Brooklyn Hustle form. There are three that finished behind her at Moonee Valley. Oh So Rewarding, Yes, 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 and Favourite Things. Given the way the weather was on the day there at Moonee Valley, anything that led was doing work into quite a strong headwind. Yeah. And Oh So Rewarding led and kicked really well off the corner. Just got tired a little bit over that last sort of 50 to 75 metres. It was a good run, though. Finished alongside Yes, 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 who had an easier passage and finished off pretty well. I just thought at the odds, Oh So Rewarding got its chance to turn the tables on Yes, Yes, Yes and get the job done. We're dealing with unraced horses here with quite a few of these coming through jump out form. Spirit in the Sky was good in its Cranbourne jump out, but I thought Movie Roll was very good at Flemington. I really liked its effort there a couple of weeks back. It was at Werribee. I thought the jump out was very good, showed speed, was kept up to the task, just wanted to switch off. So Ryder just kept asking a little bit just to keep focused, and she was very comprehensive winner there over the last 150, 200 metres of that jump out. So of the unraced, I preferred her ahead of Spirit in the Sky, but really even race, probably not one I really want to have too much of a go in.
She cost $600,000 and is a sister to the Group 1 winner, Irish Lights. Gee, she was a good horse, wasn't she, back
very,
in the day?
Very, very good horse, yeah. And look, Coolmore again, grabbing a hold of a good filly from that family that's already produced a Group 1 horse. So if she can get a black type placing or a win at some point of her career, she's worth her weight in gold.
Race number two is over the 1,400 metres, the Sports Alliance Handicap Social Spin at $4.80. Kaplumpich at $5. We've got $9 for Maha Angel and also $9 for Really Swish. Open race, betting-wise, there's a lot of winning form recently in this race. How do you line them up?
There's 8 of them have won their last start. So form lines from everywhere, really even sort of race. Again, not too sure about the track conditions and how some of these will handle a soft track. Not many of them have seen it. Social Spin's got the best exposed form on a wet track to date. Was a city winner on a soft 5 going back to the winter. There's a horse in this race that, whether it's tomorrow or the future, Piemonte, number 9. son of Fiorente, still learning what this Racing Cape is all about. Very green on debut at Mornington, but found the line well late. Same story at Hillside, just didn't know much about it. Hit the front, was floating, half waiting for the other horses, carrying its head quite high, but just kept on going to line, was just faster than them. Stays at 1,400 metres, whether he may be better over a mile, yet to be seen. We'll learn a bit more tomorrow. But I just think Fiorente down that Monsun line, bit of give in the track, you would think it would help a horse like this. He's out of a Canny Lad mare as well. We know Canny Lad progeny all love the wet. So I'm working, you know, on an each-way basis, Piemonte on top, but it's a really tough race. It's a tough start.
It is.
Tomorrow.
$10.
First couple. Very even races.
$10 Piemonte.
That's not a bad bet each way, one by two or something like that, if you just wanted to have an interest.
All right. That is race number two. Race number three at Flemington, and this is over the 1,720 metres. The market at this stage has Mascalino at $3.40. We've got Etymology at $5.50. Kentucky Breeze, $7. Box of Chocolates, $8.50. Lamborghini, Patrick Payne has told us, is a scratching, and so is Strategic Demand. Both of them will come out.
Okay.
This race doesn't enthuse me too much. I can't get too excited about it. How do you see the race?
I think there's an opportunity to have a bet because of the speed map, or the likely speed map. There's not a lot of pace in this. Romancer probably comes across with Ethan Brown from 10. Mascalino can sit closer to the speed at this sort of distance range. He's raced right on speed at 2,000 metres. He's, you know, given the fact he's claiming 3 kilos, Mick Price with Lockie King, from a middle to outside gate, I don't think they're going to be wanting to play jockeys here. They'll just make this nice and easy for Lockie, slide forward and try and get a good run in the first three on settling in a race where there doesn't look to be much pressure up front. I think they're the two we can back. Mascalino was very, very well back to win the Kilmore Cup on soft ground behind Manuel. Good form through that race. He was back, just started to go through the gears and really hit his top, and then ran up backsides and was stopped in his tracks, effectively. Only beaten three lengths. I thought it was a good second up run. I think it's clever placement by Mick Price to keep him at 1,700 now, given the fact that he didn't get that test right through the line. And you probably wouldn't want to step him up to 2,000 on the back of that. I think 1,700 metres is a good race, a good stepping stone for him. And his horse that's probably still on the up, as opposed to most of these, which are fairly well exposed with 30-plus starts. So Mascalino on top, happy to back him to win. And I'll save on Romancer. Now, this horse has got really good soft track form in New Zealand. 3 wins and 2 placings from 6 starts. He's yet to see soft ground in Australia. I thought the Wodonga Cup run was okay. He just got into a really awkward spot, 3 wide without cover, midfield, just off midfield. He had to make a long run, and he was accelerating into and around a corner, which is not an easy thing to do, nor is it easy for a horse to sustain an effort when it straightens up off the back of that sort of run. So he tied to the line, but it was a forgivable defeat for mine. This isn't much harder than that race, and I thought at the odds he was a touch of overs at the moment. So they're the two I'll be backing there, principally Mascalino, but something on Romancer as well.
Well, he's $3.40 Mascalino. Romancer is currently $15.
Nah, so it's way overs. They're writing him off on one defeat when there are genuine excuses for it.
All right. Well, I wonder what type of track we'll be playing on tomorrow. Liam O'Keefe's just finished rating the track, and he's been out on the deck this morning. Liam, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Michael.
Mate, how much rain has Flemington copped in the last 24 hours?
We've had 31.2 millimetres, so the majority of that fell yesterday morning. So, yeah, certainly a good drop of rain, and yeah, very welcome.
So what's the track currently rated then?
So on a soft 5 this morning, the going 69.0, and the inside of Australia is 9.0, and the outside is 8.9. So right in the middle of that soft 5 range, and very still conditions here this morning, so there won't be a lot of drying throughout the day.
Well, this will be the first meeting we've had since Melbourne Cup week, and I know you've done a track renovation. What exactly have you done?
Yeah, that's right. We carried out our annual spring renovation, and that entails mowing the track down and sweeping up the grass and hollow-tine coring the track, verti drain, overspray, and a light scarifying top dress. And, ideally, you sort of need a 7 or 8 week break, and we only have about 4.5 weeks by the time we've finished the renovation. So it is a little bit tender and quite young, if you like. So, it's probably going to be sort of a rating
Liam, does that mean the, you know, after a few horses get over, it'll chop up and could become a bit shifty?
Yeah, not so much shifty, probably more just punching into it a little bit more. It'll probably walk a rating better than what it will actually ride, just because there's a lot of air in the profile from the worst that we've carried out. So, yeah, the grass cover's certainly there, although it's young, but, yeah, they'll probably just punch into it a little bit. And, yeah, if we got a couple of showers throughout the afternoon, which they're forecasting, you may just see them edge off the fence a little bit later on the day.
Is that what the worry is then, if we do get rain during the race, meaning that it could chop out?
Oh, I wouldn't say it's so much of a worry. It's probably just more the case of, you know, most meetings, if you get rain during the day, they'll edge off the fence a little bit. But, yeah, ideally, first meeting back from the renovation, yeah, you'd rather be on a good four, good three. But, yeah, you certainly can't knock back the rainfall. It's always good for this time of year. But, yeah, ideally, it would have fallen on Monday, Tuesday, rather than sort of Thursday, Friday. But,
got a couple of decent sized fields down the straight. Where will they go, do you think?
Yeah, so we've got the rail out 10, big straight fields. So I think they'll use that middle to outside, but they'll probably, what they normally do, just sort of bunch up, come up the middle, and then fan from there. But we're going for readings are fairly even across. Probably the ones later in the day, they'll stay to more the outside and inside, just because there'll be a bit of wear from the circle races. But yeah, I think it'll just play typically. Typically, how it's been playing, it's just ambling up the middle and standing from there.
Good on you, Liam. Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
Good to be back at headquarters, but that's it's good information that he gives us that the track will probably play a grade lower than it walks.
Yeah, it's important to note.
So if we do get rain during the day, I think you're definitely wanting horses that can handle the cutout, not necessarily swimmers unless we get more Armageddon, but definitely ones that like getting their toe into the ground.
It's great information, isn't it? And the way you describe the track being a bit young, it makes it more relevant. You're looking at your backyard lawn or whatever else. I mean, our producer Benny Day is a lawn expert, and you can see him nodding his head away in there. He understands completely what a young turf profile would look like. So just puts it into layman's terms so that the average punter can understand.
Yeah, absolutely. You're more the concrete garden type of guy from what I hear.
Oh, Shark. Please. Shark Farms, we have no concrete.
We're going to take a break. All there's organic. More coming up on Friday Form Focus with three races down into the Flemington card.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. We're up to race four at Flemington, and one stable who could have a very big day is the Busserton Young Yard, because they've got some nice horses going there, and it's always great to have a chat to Natalie Young, who joins us. How are you, Nat?
I'm good, thanks.
Gee, the stable's going well. You always seem to have some nice horses in there. How many have you got at the moment?
We've got 70 and full work, so that keeps us all busy.
70? Natalie, yeah. That's taking things a little bit too far. You're just dominating down there, Cranbourne. No one else will have any horses left to train.
Well, you need that number to be competitive in Victoria, so I don't know. I would like a few more, actually.
I was going to say, is that capacity or you want more?
Well, we could do with a few more.
What puts
you can't even turn any away anyway.
No, well, that's right. What is the full house sign for you at? What are you capped at? How much room have you got?
We've got 70 boxes, so that's basically what we've got.
So someone would have to get the sack.
Yeah.
Right, well, hopefully none of those are heading to Flemington.
We've cleaned a few out this season.
Well, I don't think you'll be sacking any of the ones heading to Flemington, because they are all extremely well-performed, except for the first starter. And gee whiz, there's a good spruik about Spirit in the Sky in the first.
Yeah, look, he's a lovely two-year-old. He's trialled up really well. He's had a couple of jump-outs here at Cranbourne. The first one, he surprised us. He jumped out, probably won by about 5 lengths. Look, you can't get too carried away just being a Cranbourne jump out, but when they're winning in that sort of style, you know they've got plenty of ability. He trialled up nice the other day, a fortnight ago. We sort of rode him in behind them a little bit and let him learn a little bit, and he won his trial nicely under a nice hold. So look, it's always a bit new getting to Flemington up the straight. The two-year-olds are all a bit green, but look, he's not fully peaked yet. He's sort of just on his way up, which is kind of what you want, but it would be nice if we could get him to win and get him in that Magic Millions race. That's sort of the main aim.
Now, what I noticed from those jump outs was that he's got good gate speed, but then he'll come back and settle for his rider and then finish off late, which is a great quality for a young horse. It just speaks to a little professional, really.
Yeah, it does, and he's always shown that in both of his preparations so far in. So he's got a good brain on him for a colt, which is always what you want. And look, Spirit of Boom, well, look, he's a great sire. He's had plenty of good two-year-old winners, so hopefully this is one of the next ones. No, he's a really nice horse, and look, Dunn knows him. He's a nice, good, strong rider. I think he'll be able to get a nice draw. Hopefully they'll sort of follow down to the fence, and he'll be winning with a bit of luck.
He cost $140,000. Have you had many Spirit of Booms?
We've had one other, a filly with First Light. Bell Vista, her name is, and she's trialled up and won a jump out, so she's a nice filly going forward. So we've only had the two in the barn, but I really like them.
Sounds like there's some confidence for the first starter, and you've got Bezos, who goes around in race number two. And gee whiz, since the blinkers have gone on, he's turned into a different horse.
Yeah, look, he was always a little bit of a soft colt. You would give him a gallop and he wouldn't eat for a week, but since he's had that confidence of those two wins, he's actually sort of finally grown up here and toughened up. So this is what you want to see for the colts. He's really stepped forward. We just thought getting him into that city grade, we thought we'd drop him back from the mile to the 1400, since he's a real sort of front runner. We've just freshened him up and just ticked him over since that last race. And I think he's trained on really well for him. He looks fantastic. He's bouncing around. I think he's in for a good race with Basturon. He can rate them in front. So, yeah, he should give him a good shake-up.
It looks like a nice combination, doesn't it? Barrier 3, Stevie Basturon board, go to the front, the 1400 at Flemington.
Yeah, perfect.
What about
a wet track? Hopefully.
Would a wet track be a concern?
I don't think so. He's actually out of an octagonal mare. No, I don't think so. I don't think he wants it real wet, but... Look, I don't think Flemington ever gets real wet anyway. It'll be a nice bit of cushion, and I don't think it should worry him.
What about Weapon in race four, Nat? He's always promised to measure right up to Saturday grade. And this is a nice, achievable goal, a benchmark 64 for him to return in.
Yeah, yet to live up to his name, this horse. He hasn't sort of raced for like 6 months. He's been off the scene again, a really good long break, but he's come back good. He's had a couple of jump outs as well, and cruised in there nicely. Just gave him a little bit of a three-quarter yesterday, and he came up underneath great the last 50. Oh, I think he's not a bad little each-way chance, actually, fresh up. Mm. He's got not the best draw, but a little bit of weight as well, but I reckon he'll be able to sit off them and sort of just have the last crack at them. I think he's a real good each-way chance.
You could have four winners tomorrow because they all sound like they're going very well, and you've got the favourite in the last, I'm Queen, who was absolutely dominant on Ballarat Cup Day.
Yeah, we just had her going into that race, just fresh as anything. She was sort of almost nearly 6 weeks between runs. She's trained on really well, sort of coming up 3 weeks again. We always like to space the races out a little bit. She's ticked over really nicely. I can't really fault her either. Dunn knows her. She'll just get ridden in behind them again. Barrier 1, she should be able to sit sort of on the fence, and hopefully pops off the fence at the right time and can peel out. She's got good soft form, so I don't think the track will worry her if it is a little bit wet. It was a soft 7 last start, so look, I think we'll just pretty much ride it exactly as we did last start, and hopefully she can sort of poke up somewhere and get a win out of it, get us out of jail in the last, hopefully.
Nat, knowing how well she went mad fresh last start at Ballarat, have you tried to keep her in a similar headspace coming into this race?
Yeah, we haven't done a lot with her basswork wise. We've just basically ticked her over. She's not an overly clean-winded horse though, so you can't completely, not sort of work her. But we just basically just have her ticking over and just work her on a few different tracks each day. And she's a pretty straightforward horse, to be honest. She's a real pet in the stable. Everyone loves her, and so yeah, she's pretty. She's one of those sort of easier horses to train.
You're taking one to the Valley tonight, Purosity, who is also a favourite.
Same owner actually as I Am Queen, Roger Blunt. He's done well, and he loves popping over for the weekend. So, yeah, look, I think she'll be all right, Purosity. She's been, 18 days between runs. She was sort of a good second last time at Sandown. Probably another 50 metres she would have won it. It was a really good last up run. Look, she's just took it for a nice trot this morning. It's just nice and free and bouncing around. So I think she'll go a nice race tonight.
Could be a very big weekend. I know Trent doesn't mind a little punt, and he's a good judge for all the RSN listeners out there. If you were going to back one, who would it be over the weekend?
I would put my money on Porosity tonight and Bezos.
Well, we like that. A little all up. Yeah. Perfect. Good on you, Nat. Good luck.
Great. Thank you. Bye.
Haven't they done amazingly well since they crossed over from New Zealand?
Very well. I remember when they got here, they bought a team of around a dozen to 20 horses that they thought would make the grade, and that's not that long ago, only a couple of years, now they've got 70 horses in work. I guess when you've got, there's two of you, it's a bit easier to manage, but still, 70 horses, that's a fair old squadron. And yearling sales coming up, no doubt they'll be there and putting their hand up again and adding to those numbers. So it's a big stable. It's great to see some of those Cranbourne stables as well, where they've invested so heavily in the infrastructure there for the trainers, that some of those trainers are confident now and can attract the clients to have those sort of numbers, your 60s and your 70s. It's really good to have big number stables that hopefully are powerful and challenging for premierships at those regional training centres. I think it's great.
Yeah, the stable's going well. They got 5 runners over the weekend, and they're all first or second favourite, including Weapon, who is a $5.50 favourite and one of the most open races of the day. Race 4 down the straight. Rail out 10 metres is going to be pretty squeezy down the straight with this full field. How have you deciphered this race? And yesterday, I'm not sure if you heard Simon Zara. She gave a good push for Fallen Empire, who will get a run, and said that he thinks it's a very, very smart galloper.
Yeah, I thought Fallen Empire was capable of winning first up at Sandown in a 64 there, won by Riata. Wasn't able to get the job done. Probably raced a bit closer than I expected in that race. I thought he'd be at the back and coming late, which is what Riata did, whereas he showed a bit more speed and was much closer around the corner. He's a nice horse. He's got some room to move, only the 4 starts. And yeah, he's in the race for sure. I wondered why Riata couldn't win again, really. The effort was very good at Sandown. It was a dominant win. He recorded the fastest last 8, 6, 4 and 2. For the meeting there. So he was quick, and he was running low 33-second last 600. So it was a fair old effort. The times were there to back him up. And not many in this race this weekend are capable of running those sorts of times. He's failed twice second up, which is a fact, but he's had genuine excuses on both those occasions. So I think it might be a case that on one occasion he was thrown in the deep end in a race that he probably wasn't good enough for. And on the other occasion, nothing went right for him in the run. So might be a little bit misreading there, 2 second up runs for Duck Eggs.
We spoke to Robbie Lang the day Riata won first up, and he said, I like it, but it's not ready. Well, and that's why it started at $10. So you can take out of that it's going to be a lot fitter.
Well, I like that. Hopefully there's some improvement there. The other thing you can take out of its form is a soft track win over Mastering, which won by, 11 billion lengths. It's the second coming of Farlap, right, if you listen to some people this week. You know you're in the off-season when you get a benchmark 78 winner, wins by a space, and suddenly it's a group horse. He runs tonight, potentially Mastering. I didn't check the scratchings if he snuck into the race tonight. But it's a good form line anyway. You know, certainly for this grade, it's not the strongest race I've ever seen. It's a benchmark 64. He's a great each-way chance around that $9 or $10 once again.
All right. Main Danger, or that's all you're going to play?
Main Danger is probably, a horse like Weapon, who's got the ability. I like the fact they've given him a long break. That's good, because I think he's a horse that maybe a bit of a thinker, a bit hot some occasions when I've seen him at the races. So fresh, he might be able to show his best. And Fallen Empire is the other one, through that same Riata form reference. Riata and Fallen Empire have got the most room to move here, I think, in terms of potential.
Race 5 is one of the smaller fields of the day. 9 runners going around. Gouloir is a scratching, taking Gouloir to Sydney for tomorrow's meeting. So it won't be at Flemington, which leaves us with a field of 9. However, it's still a very open race, and you can give us some inside information with King's Command, who's a $4.20 chance. Murahib's at $4. Ullman, $4. Shemmy Road, who we spoke to Paddy Payne about, and he thought it was his best of the day, is at $5 as well. Small, but very competitive race.
Yeah, Reed King's Command, email around to the owners this morning from Brad Spicer saying if it's a soft 5, the horse will probably run, but if it's any worse, he won't.
Mm.
So I'm not sure if Brad heard Liam O'Keefe's comments this morning about the track probably racing a grade slower than what it walks. So there'll be some conversations there between Brad and Leon and Troy Corson's, without a doubt. Horse is going well, just goes best on top of the ground. And at this time of year, you don't have to wait that long to get back on top of the ground. So he may be some sort of doubt to start tomorrow. Not a lot of speed in this race. I thought Wenner, Mirahib would go forward. Shammy Road and Talia Hope would come across from wide gate and probably be right on their hammer, third, fourth, something like that. And I really like Shammy Road. You're getting each way odds at the moment about a very, very consistent horse that's been tackling stronger races than this in Group 3 company and running really well. Just faced the wind again there. We talked about that with the run at Moonee Valley. Well, he was at Rose Hill and had that issue last start in the Festival Stakes. A couple of those horses are going on to the Villiers off the back of that race, so there should be some form lines there. He's just really reliable at this level, and also he runs well for apprentices. Nathan Punch has been able to win on him as a 3 kilo kid, a couple of others as well. So Talia Hope's a very capable young rider. She shouldn't have too many issues with Shammy Road. I thought he was another good each way bet. He's got a bit of a day for that tomorrow, I think. If you're there from, you know, anywhere between, say, $6 and $12, you can just have a little bit of a play around and see how they go.
All right. Well, we like that. Shammy Road at around about $5 each way is Shark's selection in race 5. We're going to take a break. On the other side of this, we'll focus on the Flemington Quaddie.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. Let's get stuck into this Quaddie, Sharky. And I think it'll pay quite nice if we can jag the Quaddie tomorrow, because there's a few open races. Race number 6 is the first leg. And the market has another open race here. Declares War has been one of the best back runners of the race day. It's in at $3.30. We've got about four or five others under double figure odds, but that is where the market has honed in since it opened. Impressive win last start. Is it a skinny start to the Quaddie?
I don't think so. I'll back him to win, but I think there are a few you have to include from a Quaddie point of view. This is almost the race of the day for mine. There's some really promising horses here. A lot of them not exposed as yet, still going through their grades, learning what it's all about. You know, they're getting to that really nice sort of middle distance-ish, heading towards 2,000 metres. You know, I love those horses. I love betting in these sorts of races. Declares War, we all saw him at Moonee Valley last week. He was nowhere at the 150, was he? And then he was everywhere with 50 to go and won like he was never in doubt. Super win. Times were there to suggest it, you know, was as good as the eye thought. He's the top pick, and I'll be happy to back him to win. And I'll be playing multiples, primarily the Exacta, with a couple here. Hostar. Mm-hmm. Getting back to a big track. I loved his first up run, second up at the Valley. I just wanted to see how he went around that tighter circuit. He didn't really handle the corner, but once he got balanced, he finished well. And Ryan's Fender, it's the other one, second up here, and he'll be better again third up at 2,000 metres. But he was handy, really fresh early in that race at Ballarat. Basically was left as the only horse to pick up and go past the leader early in the straight, and he did. But then just ran out of gas that last 150 metres. I thought it was a really good run. He'll improve, and he is a chance to, you know, progress on to 2,000 metre races and be something of a little winning machine, I think, this summer. He's a nice horse.
What about a horse like Lorikane, who was just uber impressive last start?
Yeah, it definitely goes in the Quaddie. He didn't beat anything of any real talent. That's the one thing I will say about the benchmark 78 win at Warrnambool. But he won it. It was just utter dominance. Mm. 7 lengths. He carried weight. He just absolutely smacked them. And his form prior to that, you know, wasn't bad either. I think he's another horse in this race that'll develop into a really nice 2,000 metre, 2,400 metre horse in time. So it's a good race. There are some serious progressive talent here, I think, as far as off-season talent is concerned. You might see a couple of three-year-olds end up in South Australian derbies or Queensland derbies next year.
All right, so happy to back Declares War currently at $3.30, but what numbers are you throwing in the Quad?
4, 7, 9, 14.
4, 7, 9, and 14. Ryan's Fender, the 7, Hoistar, the 9, and the 14. Which
Novatia.
Novatia we haven't spoken
didn't
about.
Didn't really get much of a run at them first up at Moonee Valley, and these horses bred by Trevor Delro can improve really quickly into their preparations. They're clean-winded horses, typically. They're bred along staying lines, and they can really elevate second up. off what looked to be average sort of first up runs. She did bolt up her Stony Creek maiden earlier this year and then was thrown into the deep end in the Sydney Oaks. She wasn't good enough for that race, of course, but this is not an Oaks field and she might surprise at a big price.
All right, that is the first leg of the quaddie. The second is a nice little race as well. Fell Swoop's going to the Razor Sharp in Sydney, mm-hmm. so is out of Flemington. The favourite here is Whispering Brook at $4.40, just ahead of Native Soldier at $4.60. This is a good class off-season sprint race. We've got Invincible Owl at $6.50 as well. Whispering Brook, we know she flies fresh. She's got a lot of talent. So does Native Soldier, though. He's a three-year-old. Haven't seen since something went amiss, you would imagine, because he was pretty awful in the Caulfield Guineas. But before that, the way he won the Prelude was very impressive.
He had a really busy prep, so maybe he just had enough or was in need of a break there in that Caulfield Guineas. It was below what we expect to see from the horse, and especially at Caulfield, where he goes so well. His form around a corner is excellent. He needs to prove that he can bring that class, that level of form down the straight. His Danehill Stakes run wasn't bad. He just wasn't as effective as he was around a corner, basically. He's in the race, but if Whispering Brook turns up in her best form, with her given her first up record, I think she's the horse to beat. I think she can carry weight here and give weight to the boys and still beat them. Able Stakes win, first up last prep was just dominant, easy as you'd like to see. A couple of things wrong there at Adelaide when she was beaten at a short price favourite. Looked like she choked down on the vet report. Her tongue got over the bit a couple of times. Morphettville win was good. Going back to Phillies and Mares grade, beating Michael Ill, who then went and got a Group 1 placing. So, yeah, it's some good form around her. Soft track, I wouldn't be too worried. The soft five that she raced on in the Sangster, she was held up. She was really well positioned, sort of fifth, sixth in running. Travelled up behind them really strongly early part of the straight, and the gap wasn't there by the time she got out. Others had momentum, Shoals and the like, running home, and she just didn't have that full head of steam. Still let down pretty well to my eye, and look, she still ran fifth in a really strong Group 1 Sangster. That's her only appearance on a soft track, so I'm not going to say that she's not going to handle it. It's going to be probably a touch softer than that, I would have thought, at Flemington tomorrow, given Liam O'Keefe's assessment earlier.
Holbein, do you give it any rough chance its home track?
You can have Holbein.
Invincible Owl,
bit
who,
of a gunner, Holbein.
Well, Invincible Owl's your perennial black booker, but he can never find the right race.
No, he can't. He gets in here with a very light weight. Nathan Punch rode him at 51 last time. He's got 51 again here. At some point, something's going to go right for him, and he'll jag one of these races. So, as much as I reluctantly do it, you just throw him in a quaddie because the day you leave him out, it's the day he'll blow you out. So he goes into the quaddie, but I think there are other stronger chances in the race than him.
All right. Who goes in this quaddie then?
2, 4, 6, 7, and 9 for
me. 2, 4, 6, 7, 9. So going a bit wider, Thermal Current, back down the straight, goes in.
Going very well, Thermal Current.
Whispering Brook, the 6, Native Soldier, the 7. This is a interesting selection. Mm-hmm. Quattronic. We get to see for the first time down in Victoria. $26. Why are you putting it in?
Really good winning strike rate. Goes to Stephen Brown now and might be able to just turn its form around.
Do you know anything? Have you seen any jump outs?
Well, it's trialled. It did trial at Tatura and went okay. Wasn't really asked to do a hell of a lot, but moved well. I just thought, given her winning strike rate, at times she's run well to listed grade, Group 3 grade. Yeah, I didn't think she was the worst in this race.
All right, 2, 4, 6, 7, and 9, the second leg of the quaddie for the Shark. The third leg is race number 8, the Make-A-Wish Australia Trophy over 25.40. This is the big staying event of the day. There's been a lot of talk about Captain Rhett earlier in the week, and also it's second favourite at $7.50. It's $7 a field. No, sorry, Chappal is the favourite at $6. That's how wide open this is. How wide are you going in this race?
Oh, maybe the field. I think
you're pulling out the F.
Well, you go from the two best races of the day, 6 and 7, to this, which is an absolute stink box. It's just
You're not happy with this as a leg of the quarter?
No.
Maybe race 4 would have been a better leg?
Yeah, possibly. I don't make those decisions, sadly, but there's just average stayers, average off-season stayers. None of them are really going anywhere. One of them will win tomorrow. Probably the same field. You could run it, whatever you got, 15 times, and you might get 13 different winners. It's just that sort of race. Doesn't interest me in the slightest, but the fact that it's a leg of the quaddy, we must have an opinion. I thought Earth Angel, potentially, down on the minimum.
She's got to do something to justify the breeding at some stage, doesn't she?
She's half a kilo over the minimum, but it's near enough to it. She's going okay. She's gone okay on soft tracks before. She's got a Group 3 placing in a South Australian Fillies Classic, although it was a pretty ordinary field itself on that occasion. If you go back retrospectively and have a look at where some of those runners have ended up, wasn't exactly the deepest race you've ever seen. She's going okay. She's
646 been days the line since her well solitary win.
Yeah, it's that sort of race. I backed Chappal last start, but it wasn't a dominant performance. He won well enough, but it didn't really get me off my seat.
California
just flat. Grand Cru.
Well, maybe this will get you a bit more excited. Dino's tipping at $16.
Well, he's got to go in the quaddy. He's a last start soft track winner over a horse I do think has some talent. So there is a little bit of form around California Grand Cru because I think Prince Albie's a handy horse. But the rest of them, just a bunch, ugh.
All right, so are you going the F or are you going to cut a couple out?
We can't go the F. We'll go 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 and throw in 13.
2, Mazaz. Mm-hmm. 3, Goodwood Zodiac. 4, Crafty Devil. 7, Pedro Jimenez. 8, mm-hmm. Captain Rhett. 9, Earth Angel. 10, Chappal. 11, California Grand Cru. And the 13, Kalalo.
Yeah, horrible race, though. And as you could probably tell from my tone, I'm not overly enthusiastic about it.
Could not have picked that up, actually, but there you go. Race number 8.
If the track was good, I would be more inclined to possibly back Goodwood Zodiac, but his wet track form in Australia hasn't been great. Best of his wet track form's been in the UK.
Well, I'm hoping you'll get a little bit more enthused about the last race.
Oh, we're enthusiastic about this one.
All right, very good. The favourite is I Am Queen, who was absolutely dominant on Ballarat Cup Day. True Excelsior, $6, didn't have much luck last start. I think it'll be hard to beat. And Phil the Flute, going for 5 in a row.
Very, very competitive race, this one. I don't know. It could be to my detriment, but I might risk Phil the Flute tomorrow, just getting up in the weights now, ring the handicap. I might have just about got her. True Excelsior didn't have any luck last time, although the first two runs of the prep were just ordinary off good trial form. So I don't know what to make of her, but this is the easiest race she's contested for a while. Now, Tali's good fresh. I Am Queen, really interesting to hear Natalie Young talk about this horse. And we heard in the lead up to that Ballarat race that they wanted to drop her back in trip, get her fresh, to see if they could get her to finish off because they felt she just sort of idling to the line. Well, they had the desired effect, didn't they? It exploded when the gap came there and beat a couple of handy horses as well, I Am Queen. The runner-up, Rocks the Castle, then went to Valley last week and won by, 3.5?
That's right.
And was the easiest win of the night. And is quite a talented horse, too. And he won that on top of the ground when he's much better on a wet track. So I think there's some depth to that I Am Queen form.
We might see it again tonight at the Valley as well.
Yes. And important that, I Am Someone goes around tonight. Important to hear that Natalie and Trent have kept this horse fresh again. If that's the key to her, worked at Ballarat. Let's just poke around, keep her fresh for this race.
Last race of the day, Barrier 1.
Yeah, that's the worry.
Yeah.
That's the worry. I was building a strong case until you raised the obvious negative, which is Barrier 1, which may not be the place to be.
Twitchy Frank's another good chance, drawn 2.
Yes, I know. See, this is the conundrum with the last race because she resumed at Warrnambool and, again, only beat some average benchmark 70 horses, but did it really well. And came from near last to do it. So she goes well on wet tracks and is in this race on the score of talent. It's just that inside gate that has me a little bit worried.
Well, True Excelsior 11 or Nantali drawn 9 will be out in the right place. Essence of Terror is drawn 6. I'm surprised Nantali's $16.
Yeah, that's overs. She's a better horse than that. Her best form is probably around the 1400 to Well, probably 1400 actually. 1400. She does get 1600 if she can get an easy time of it in front, but 1400's more her go. Drew Excelsior, if she found her best form, I think is the best sprinter in the race. And you're still getting a decent price about her. There's a nice roughy as well coming from a different form line, and that's number 11, Hay Now. Sean Dwyer's only had her for one start, and I thought it was a really, really good run at Bendigo in a benchmark 64. Carried weight there, 61 kilos against the boys, and ran home really well from a position where she couldn't really win from. Barrier 10 down the straight. She's run nice races, not being beaten far by some handy horses in Sydney. So she's a left field one that goes into my quaddie.
All right, who would you want to back in the last?
I'd probably take the risk. What price was True Excelsior again?
$6.
Yeah, I'd probably take the risk at $6 with her, because if she does show up in her best form, she should beat them.
All right. Last leg, how are we coming home?
2-3. I'm going to risk Fill the Flute. I'm going to put in 11, Hey Now, 12, Twitchy Frank, 13, I Am Queen.
All right, with Nantali and True Excelsior. That's the quaddie. Look at Flemington, Sharknado, best of the day.
Best of the day, I can't see Chamois Road missing a place, so I'll be backing it. The other horse that I'm keen to have a bet on is Declares War, and play those exactors with Declares War, Hostar, and Ryan's Fender. Have a little play there.
Very good. Do you like anything at the Valley?
I haven't got stuck right into the Valley at this point because I've been waiting on the weather for today. But I Am Someone did look well placed, I thought, in the 9:55.
Very good. Sharky, good luck tomorrow at Flemington.
Good luck to you, Michael.
You've got your radar intact, and we'll see you next week.
You will.